Welcome back to the Fantasy Flavor Podcast, where we're spicing up your daily dose of fantasy football content. Join Dylan Thomas, Sanat Ansara, and Trenton Roberts as they provide you with player and team analysis, mock drafts, and one-on-one interviews. Hey, what's going on, Fantasy Flavor Podcast, YouTube viewers, podcast listeners? What's up? We're super excited to have you here. Today, we're talking about some of our buy lows here in Fantasy Football Dynasty. So let's start off with you, Sanatan. Who's your first buy low?
My first buy low is my man, Terry McLaurin. I'm a huge fan. And I think he was the darling for everyone beginning last year. And even during the season, he started red hot. And then people started forgetting about him when other players like AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Slayton, these guys started breaking out. People just forgot how good Terry McLaurin was playing with, you know, very subpar quarterback play. And this offseason, I'm not hearing a lot of buzz about him. I think he's going around the same. I think he's cheaper than a Debo. And definitely cheaper than some other players that I would definitely not want before McLaurin. He played with Haskins, who was not very great. I don't blame Haskins because he was just thrown into, you know, fire at that time without a coach or anything. And the main reason that I like McLaurin a lot is there is no competition. Mm-hmm. Like, who is competing with who? McLaurin is competing for targets. There is no one, absolutely no one. I mean, Kelvin Harmon was not great. They did not even draft a very high wide receiver. I was hoping that they were going to go first round, second round on wide receiver. They did not. So, I mean, it's his, you know, wide receiver, all of the targets that he can take. And the second thing, he has played with Haskins in college. So they have kind of some chemistry, you know, between them. And Haskins will definitely improve from last year. And McLaurin is not being appreciated a lot. This guy burnt, you know, Byron Jones when he played him. Byron Jones is a good cornerback for Cowboys. And he was also very good with Gilmore. Like, this guy is a very good route runner along with great speed. So if you get a separation and then you have great speed, that produces a lot. And he can catch the, he has good height and he's built thicker than DeSean Jackson. He's not like in the category of DeSean Jackson or those players who can just take the deep ball. He can catch and then, you know, just go to another gear and then take it to the house. So I just love this guy, and I'm actively trying to buy him wherever I can.
Yeah, Terry's super interesting. It was kind of a up and down offseason, but it ended up being a win. I remember the Redskins offered Amari Cooper over $20 million a season to go play with them. So at first I was a little concerned. I'm like, holy crap, maybe they see McLaurin more as a B. It's not like that he can't succeed as a B, but obviously his appeal is that he's an alpha on a team and obviously super fast alpha. I have a question for you, though. Are you kind of the one thing problem with Terry McLaurin was he had good third-round draft capital, was pretty solid. But the one problem with him was the breakout age, right? He never broke out. And he was at Ohio State, who had a – honestly, there were, like, wide receivers there who honestly didn't necessarily, like, aren't, like, smashing NFL hits like Curtis Samuel. Michael Thomas obviously is one, though. But, yeah. other than Michael Thomas, not really the highest of hits. So my point is, if he struggled to really, like, produce much there, is he going to struggle once they do bring in competition? Because one day there's going to be competition for McLaurin, right? There has to be. There's no way the depth chart stays like this forever. This is Dynasty we're talking about. So does that concern you? Would you be selling maybe McLaurin in another year after buying him now?
I think it will depend on how Haskins does. If Haskins is good, I'm not, because he can support, you know, two receivers, and the other receiver that they will get has to be a stud. I think McLaurin is very, very good. Ohio State's offense is mostly run heavy offense.
Mm-hmm.
So even Michael Thomas wasn't like a elite producer there, and that's why he went in the second round himself. And look at him, what he is doing right now. So I mean, once you have shown yourself in the NFL, people tend to forget your college breakout and those things. Those are usually used just to see forecast your how predictive it is that you'll succeed in the NFL. Once you have done it in the NFL, who cares about the college anymore? I don't.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because there is a case. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I think I'm warming up to Terry more and more, because he completely just like busted my process. You know what I mean? Like everything like I've tried to avoid, he was more of a void for me, and he balled out. I don't want players to not ball out, so obviously good for him. But Eddie Royal, do you remember Eddie Royal of Chicago? He had a great season. I believe 900, 1,000 yards as a rookie too, and then he fell off earth. So I'm not saying McLaurin's going to do that. McLaurin's numbers were great when Haskins played. But you know what I mean? I've seen a lot of things on Twitter. Oh, just because McLaurin was good as rookie year doesn't, means he's going to like succeed in the NFL. Yes, it's a fantastic sign, but even like a Kelvin Benjamin, two opposite players there, but same concept, you know what I mean? Just because you have a good rookie year doesn't mean crap if there's no competition there. And there isn't competition. Yeah,
but it's just not about the numbers. It's also, his route running, prowess, the way how he did with very good cornerbacks, press, man, everything. I think Kelvin Harmon in his reception perception is also very, very high on McLaurin. And he showed really, really well. It's not just, the numbers were great. Kelvin Benjamin was winning just because of his size. We all knew he was not a great route runner. It was not because, the touchdowns. Newton had to throw up in the air and someone had to catch. But that's not the case with McLaurin.
That's fair. I will say players win in different ways. You don't need to be a good route runner to be good in the NFL. I think that's a bunch of bogus. We have a whole bunch of great players who aren't the most refined route runners. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but, I know you love your route running.
It is difficult. No, but it is difficult to bust, unless...
that's true.
If you are a good route runner, it's very difficult to bust. I'm not saying the other way around. But the other way around may not be true that, if you're not a good route runner, you'll bust. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying that if you're a good route runner, it's difficult to bust. Only in very weird circumstances will you bust if you have not good attitude or something like that.
Yeah.
Like my man Dan
DeFetis. Dante Pettis, I was going to say it.
I know, I saw you smiling. I was like, you have that in your mind, so I could read it.
Yeah, for the listeners, I remember he had Dante Pettis around his wide receiver 24, and Trenton and I had him in our 40s. And he's like, that's so low for Dante Pettis. He's never going to be that low again. That's way too low. Turns out Trenton and I were too high on him.
Okay, since we have this story, we should also know the story about A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, massive hit. A.J. Brown, massive hit. Claps to you, man. But we should move on here. Yeah. Perfect time to move on.
Yeah.
Here to my first buy low here. The most unsexy buy low of all time. Tell me this is the most unsexy buy low of all time. Robert Woods. Yeah. I think things are okay for Robert. I mean, Brandon Cooks is out of town. They brought in Van Jefferson. Josh Reynolds might be the wide receiver 3 there. I mean, that's good because there's no competition. I think, why I'm higher in Woods, though. He only had 2 touchdowns. That should go up. Maybe 5 to 6, right? But he only had 2 touchdowns. Yep. And this guy, this guy's going to be destined to finish as like a low-end wide receiver 1, high-end wide receiver 2. And he's going around like the wide receiver like 27. And a lot of the startups I'm doing recently, personally, I don't know where his ADP's at, but might be a little skewed because the rookie's ADP might be a little too low. Like, I've seen rookies go over him, which is fair, but if you're contending, go buy Robert Woods. He's not sexy at all, but he's going to give you similar production to a Cooper Kupp, just not with the touchdown upside that, like, a Kupp has. They're going to be similar production at, like, half the cost, potentially, and I know that hurts you, Cup truther over there, but it's true. I mean, Brandon Cooks is out of town. Obviously, Cup snaps went down severely too. He was the man. He was the number one in snaps there towards the end of the season. Those last few weeks, Cup played. He only played like 60% of the snaps. I still love Cup, But Rob, if they're going to this more run heavy approach with two tight ends, which is the better run blocker? It seems, at least to that, if they're not going to have Cup on the field. I don't know. Woods, I think Woods is undervalued. Even if you like Cup, both of them can succeed. My point is, Woods, there's not much to talk about. He's just not sexy. He's like the Lamar Miller plus of wide receiver. He's so not sexy. Like, if I want to, like, he is the freaking generic family car of fantasy football wide receiver too.
Yeah, and he's like the Dylan of the fantasy analysts.
Oh, come on. Don't do that to me.
Not sexy, but gets the job done. That's compliment, man. Come on.
I'll take it. At least I get the job done.
Yeah. Not unlike our other guy, Trenton.
Sorry, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
He's so at the prom right now. So.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you worried that he might not be with the Rams after this year? Because he can be cut next year.
That's a good for point.
For $1 million dead cap. And if he goes somewhere where he's not appreciated, like he's with the Rams, like before he was in Buffalo, the same talent, everything. I liked his talent when he was in with the Bills, and he was just roasting Sherman against this. And I was a Hawks fan. So I looked at him. I was like, this guy's just roasting Sherman in all his routes. So he was pretty good at that time too, but he was not appreciated. He was not given targets and those stuff. So what if he goes to some other place where he gets the money, but it's not the Rams?
Yeah, I think they'll cut other things, even though that is there. Just Cups. Woods has been so good with them. They could also restructure the contract too. I feel like we talk, like Sammy Watkins, for example, last year, you were concerned that he might be cut, and it was looking like he was going to be cut or take the year off. There's rumors for that, but they just restructured his contract. So it doesn't have to be just a cut if there's not much casualties. Maybe he'll take a little bit of a pay cut there to stay with the team. He's been very good. I don't see why they would cut him, especially since they got rid of Cooks too, and they have these rookies and Josh Reynolds. They're not really proven. If they ball out, maybe. But I don't necessarily think they're going to ball out because the Rams offense kind of looks sketchy.
Yes, yeah, so my only concern is that if he's with the Rams or not. Because if he's with the Rams, if you're telling me that he'll be with the Rams for the next 2-3 years, I'm going and buying him tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely.
But I have my skepticism that if he will be with the Rams or not. Yeah, because they drafted Van Jefferson, who they were saying is a mixture of Cup or Woods. So I'll be very surprised with how much cap problems they have, that they will keep both Cup and Woods. And my bet right now is that they will keep Cup. So if you are in that camp, then you might not want Woods. But if you are in the other camp like you, if you think Woods will be there and Cup will be gone, then you might not want Cup, because Cup is doing such great with because of the chemistry with Goff.
Yeah.
And so they both are risky.
Cup is the free agent next offseason. Woods is still under contract, so that'll be interesting to see.
But that contract is as good as free agent, man. It's just $1 million hit. That's nothing.
Yeah, but he is under contract, though. That's better. That you can't be like, oh, that doesn't matter. That has to matter somehow. Listen, I think both are fine. I feel like people pick a side, and I'm like, dude, stop. They can both be good, dude. But let's move on.
Yeah, here. I'm not picking sides or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, depends on what you're thinking is, like, who will stay. If they both stay, both are smash.
Definitely. Anyways. Who's next?
My next guy is a guy that I loved when he was drafted. It's TJ Hawkinson, and I'm beating the drum again after a while there where it was not looking good. But his price has gone significantly down, and that's the reason he's a great buy low for me, because nothing has changed really. You know, Detroit did not add any receiver where they could because Marvin Jones is getting older. Golladay is great, but they did not add any receiver. They invested a huge draft capital on Hawkinson, the 8th pick, when they did not need to. He showed a lot of promise initially last year. And then Stafford went down. They were playing with... Hawkinson himself had injury issues. And so there was a lot of things that did not go right with the Lions. And I think this year they get back on track. There is still, I mean, he's at worst the third receiver on the team behind Golladay, Jones, and behind Golladay and Jones. And I don't see many tight ends that have that kind of promise, that kind of target volume outlook. So, and if you talk about the measurables, he has one of the best measurables among the tight end coming out of college. He's a beast. And the prototype of Rob Gronkowski will. I'm not saying he'll produce like that, but he has the tools of being the next Kittle. Like, he has that body type, he has that run after the catch, those things. So I think it's a good time to buy Hockenson with all the, you know, with the way he did not produce last year, and there is no off-season buzz on him, so he's not very costly. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to know what I think about TJ Hockenson, we have a video here on the channel called The Hockness Monster. I don't know if you remember that little picture. That was probably my proudest Photoshop of all time. You'll have to check out the video to see what I'm talking about. But it's just on our YouTube channel, Fantasy Flavor. But it's just a great breakdown of his elite profile. I talked about how I didn't expect him to produce year one, and how he was kind of in this blocking prison when healthy, similar to O.J. Howard. He was blocking in the team's more, how do I word it? Like, their team's passing attempts, he was blocking at a rate higher than O.J. Howard, if that makes sense. So he was, you know what I mean? He was more in blocking prison, which I call it. So it's just like, overall, TJ Hockenson should be unleashed. We saw it in week one, and then the dude just plateaued. Meanwhile, we saw Noah Fant progressively get better. So that's why I feel like Fant's going ahead of him, too. And Fant produced fantastically, too. These are, I'm bringing them both because they're compared so often. Both of them are great buys. I'm okay with taking Fant earlier, but Hockenson does have less competition. But Fant did break up more than Hockenson did, even though I think they both are going to smash and be fantastic tight ends.
Yeah, but after the draft, I think Hockenson has a better path to the volume because Fant just got more competition.
Even though it's competition, they're all rookies. So I think
Jimmy could produce. Yeah, I agree, but still. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Stafford was so good, honestly, with before he went down with injury, and so was Hawks. So hopefully Hawks' injury was kind of minor, and he'll be okay. But both are great buys. It'll be cool to see who finishes higher. You could ask me any day of the week, it'll change. Let's go on here to my second buy low. Final buy low here of the episode. Thank you so much for listening and watching so far. Matt Ryan. I mean, I'm not sexy today. These are not sexy. It's like TJ Hockenson has some appeal. You know, but man, Matt Ryan, he has no appeal. Even Terry McLaurin has some appeal, but Matt Ryan, Robert Woods. Listen, Matt Ryan has been so consistent throughout his career. He's been like Drew Brees, but kind of without the Super Bowl ring, to be honest. He's just so good. Let me read it. So last year, down year, finishes as a low on QB1 as QB11. And I'm more talking super flex here. One QB doesn't really matter so much, but even in one QB, if you're a contender, he's fine. Before that, QB2. His worst year was after his MVP year, where he finishes the QB 15. That's been one of his worst finishes. Then the year before, QB2, QB19, QB7, QB15. Then we have a 7, 8, 8, and then 18 his rookie year. So why am I bringing this all up exactly? My point is, it seems to have a mediocre year and then blow up the next year.
Yeah,
that's what the trend is. And this offensive line, they spent 2 first round picks on it last season. That should become healthy again. Austin Hooper's gone, which is kind of bad because Austin Hooper's good, but they brought in Hayden Hurst to hopefully replace most of the production. Didn't grab a wide receiver 3, which is the only alarming part there. You would have preferred to see a wide receiver 3 there who could produce. But listen, Matt Ryan is just so good. Like, even if he gives you like those QB10 numbers again, I'll take that as price of like QB10. It's a super safe floor. He's just a little bit older, but he'll be around for like 3 to 4 more years. I see. So I don't see like an Eli Manning type of fall. So why not keep him? He's good at the gunsling. The Falcons are like crap at defense. Dan Quinn needed to be fired last year, and they've always kind of been bad on defense. Like, the Falcons just, they cannot figure it out. Even that, like, the year they went to the Super Bowl, they're only like a good red zone defense. Like, the yards are there, like, top of the league. So, you know, my point is, he's going to have to sling the rock. Dirk Cotter loves slinging the rock. Remember Jameis Winston. He has Julio freaking Jones, who's also another nice buy low. He's, like...
Oh, yeah.
I see, even I have him kind of low, but like, if you're like, if you know you're, that's just because with my rankings, I don't know what I assume. I kind of like, you might be contending, you might be rebuilding. I kind of like merge them both. So that's why he's kind of more like my wide receiver 16, I think, in Dynasty. But he's going to give you another like top 10 finish, top five finish. This guy's top like five. Never out of the top five. Only way he's out of the top five is he gets injured. So my, I don't. It's not a Julio episode. That would have been way more sexy, but it's a Matt Ryan time. So bye, Matt Ryan. It's just simple. Be smart and super flex. We have him in our fan league. Is that why I'm partially doing this? Hell yeah, it is. But listen, Matt Ryan, do you have any thoughts? He's a god.
Yeah, and Julio, if I had to bet someone finishing as the wide receiver one right now, I would bet Julio. I think Matt Ryan is going to have to sling so much this year. Who has, like, he has the chemistry with Julio and Ridley. I think both are going to eat this year.
Yeah, both will
and,
eat.
And as you said, like, Matt Ryan, no one, you know, gives him the respect. Shout out to one of our league mates, Fire the Cannons. He told me that he would rather have Mitch Trubisky over Matt Ryan. And I just could not believe it. I was like, this is what, you know, this is how Matt Ryan is being evaluated in fantasy. No one, you know, just loves that guy, and he constantly produces. He's always there up in yards. The touchdowns, they are not that great on touchdowns. Maybe that will go higher this year. I think yards was consistent. I think he's consistent in yards every year. And the fluctuation is only because of the touchdowns. And I think they should have some more touchdowns this year. Anyways, we have so many buy lows, and I think the listeners and the you know, YouTube viewers should, you know, put on the comments, and if you know, we put down in the comments if you want more buy lows. We'll respond, and you know, well, feel please, you are welcome to join our Discord chat. The link will be down below. We have all kinds of discussions there. Today we had a great discussion about Thielen versus Kirk, and we gave our opinion on that. So there are so many very savvy dynasty players there who will also answer your questions. So please join. Please help us grow. You know, it does not cost you anything, but you know, we'd love it if our work is being a bit appreciated, and we are open to criticism. So if you want something changed, if you want us to make videos on something, we are open. Please join our Discord and let us know.
All right, awesome. He said everything I had to say. So listeners, viewers, have a fantastic rest of your day. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. Feel free to leave feedback, subscribe, or check out our previous content. And remember, have a fantastic rest of your day.